When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
You're locked into Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss podcast powered by Riverland Roofing and featuring Ben Garrett and Billy Embody of Rebel Grove. Hello again, friends, and welcome inside, at least for me, not for Ole Miss hitting coach Mike Clement, the Riverland Roofing Studios New Albany branch. Riverland Roofing, for all your roofing needs, 662-644-4297, riverlandroofing.com. Few, if any, are doing more for Ole Miss sports in the name, image, and likeness space. Check out our friends, Riverland Roofing. Mike Clement, Ole Miss hitting coach. How you doing, bro?
How long did it take you to memorize that and not have like a script in front of you to read off of? Because I remember back in the day, you were your eyes would go down.
That's
when
you're
doing that.
That's not sure. That's
now
not
it's, true. Now it's eyes straightforward, hold the little thing.
Yeah. I am a pro's pro, Clem, okay? I've been doing this for almost 20 years. It took me only about 6 months to learn that. they've been good to us, man. And yes, those reads have gotten a little easier, but I'm a pro, just like you're a pro, and Ole Miss baseball is getting stuff done right here and now. First of all, the draft's done. You're about to hit the road, some recruiting stuff coming up. But right here and now, what's going on over there at Swayze Field?
Getting ready to head to Atlanta. Laugh and I are going to Atlanta, and then we'll be home Saturday night, one night at home, and then fly out to the West Coast. We got San Diego and Long Beach next week. We're rolling. But the draft was good. It was good for us. Anytime you can get the best pitcher in the SEC back on your team, I think you have to say you won the draft.
No doubt about it. And we were talking about before the draft started how big of a get that would be. You said it specifically. You know, the biggest addition we could get is the left-hander just returning for his senior year, and now it has happened. Maybe go into the draft not expecting that result, but now that it's happened, how does that, you know, help set everything else up, right? The work in the portal, losing Grant Richardson is obviously a blow, because this is a player that with the first commitment out of the portal, this is a guy y'all are potentially going to include in the weekend rotation. He's going to contend for it, at least. He's going to sign. He's a 6th-round pick. Will McClausland could have taken over the Mason Morris role as the bullpen ace. He signed as well. But the trade-off is you get Hunter back. So considering all of that, how big of an addition is it just to keep him? And also considering there were some surprises in the draft.
Yeah, well, if you lose those two and then you lose Hunter, that's a blow, right? Mm-hmm. Like that hurts. Certainly would like to have gotten, I guess, one of those two. I don't, you know, holistically looking at it, we probably figured we lose one of those two guys, hope to get one of them back or in. And then frankly, like if you're putting like real money on it, you're betting you're losing Hunter too. So, it certainly would have liked to have gotten one of those two guys, I think. But the thing about Elliott is it's so big. I mean, everybody knows that, but it just, number one, it makes you better in all facets of the game. He's going to strike out over 100 guys, so it's going to make you better defensively. Obviously, it pushes everyone down a role on our pitching staff, right? So whoever was going to be the Friday guy had Hunter signed becomes the Saturday guy theoretically. And so it just changes roles, and, you know, it makes us better offensively because you don't have to score as many runs on Friday. It just, you know, we're better in all areas of the game with him coming back, not just, hey, you got a Friday guy, and all of that. And then that's not even to mention the leadership qualities that he has. You know, he'll be the only guy in our locker room that's won a national championship. You know, all of those intangible things that coaches always talk about are real with him too. So, incredible competitor. You know, he's gonna make everybody better. No question about it.
Well, as far as the Sluggers, it went about as good as you could hope for it to go. I mean, Coy James signing or getting drafted in, I think, 193 by the Washington Nationals. They've been signing everybody over slot. I don't know what his signing, what his status is as far as signing. But as far as the Sluggers are concerned, Judd Utemark coming back. He hasn't announced it yet, but that's the assumption. Will Furness coming back. Daniel Pacella. He was a draft risk. Tristan Bisedia, all those guys, having that core of guys get through the draft, knowing you've got the makeup of a really powerful and pretty deep lineup, that had to be an encouraging sign.
Yeah, it was huge. You know, to get, obviously, from our current roster, the important guys are the biggest draft risks from an offensive perspective were Judd and Folley, and we're able to get those guys back. And we're fortunate with those two and with Hunter. You know, from a resource standpoint, you know, administrative help and all of that, you know, everybody's on board and baseball's important, all of those things that I'm supposed to say. But getting those two guys back in the middle, not just offensively, and obviously they hit whatever it was, 43 home runs between them last year, but the defensive component is huge with those two as well. Obviously, Folley at a vitally important defensive position. And then Judd's versatility of being able to just move all over the field, which he's done in his time here. So, you know, those guys were huge. We assumed we were losing Coy James and had accounted for that probably longer than we accounted for anyone being gone just because of the profile and what he was. But and then, like you talked about with the guys coming in, I think the biggest risk of the guys coming in was Daniel Pacella. Where we were fortunate with him is he committed early on in the portal season and then came to summer school. And so for him to be in summer, well, I think you interviewed him and, mm-hmm. and he was at Furness's place. That's right. And so for him to be here and be around Judd and Furness and Folley and our freshmen, you know, it's always the running, it's not really a joke, but the running thing, like the Velvet Ditch, all of those things that we pound our chest about, as people who live in Oxford or Ole Miss people, that's really true. You know, and you see it when the kid comes here for 3 weeks of summer school, using our facilities, hanging around our guys, it makes it much harder on them. And so that was a huge one. So we feel pretty good offensively about what we've gotten back. And it's the first time in a couple of years where we've had real offensive production from the year before coming back. You know, we were counting on, you know, Smithwick and Luke Hill, and Fern a year, 365 days ago. And frankly, like if you look at the stat line from 2024, none of those guys, you know, were absolutely great that year. And admittedly, I think they would admit that. And so to have guys coming back, probably about half of our lineup and a ton of production coming back, certainly feels good.
Got a couple of questions from my website, Rebel Grove, the newly rebranded rebelgrove.com, affiliate of On3. The first from Rebel Joe, who hasn't signed because Ole Miss had 8 draftees. And then, of course, and that's from the current roster. Then, of course, the Coy Jameses and some transfers to Grant Richardson. Who hasn't signed? And do we have hope of anyone drafted coming back? Also, if Connor Spencer doesn't come back, who is going to be our closer next season?
Good questions. We anticipate all of those guys signing. And so, from Mason Morris, who I think is already signed all the way through, maybe Sam Tocoyan was drafted in the 20th round. We anticipate that all of those guys will sign. I'm hoping I'm not missing something. No, I think our anticipation is that all of them either have signed or will sign. And I don't think we'll get any of those guys back. You know, the Major League Baseball draft is tricky and it's hard to figure out for me, you know, and this is what I do for a living. And not just who's getting drafted and where they'll go, but the inner workings of it are unique in that if you get drafted inside the top 10 rounds, you're going to sign. Typically, there's a deal in place before they call your name. Hey, will you sign for this? Yes. And there's probably one or two players in total in those however many 300, 400 picks inside the top 10 rounds that won't sign. And that's probably because of a failed physical, like with Gunnar Hoglund, or, you know, some negotiation went sideways or whatever. Those are really unique situations. So all of those guys sign. And then the real intrigue comes for us between the 11th and 20th round, like with Spencer a year ago, like with Elliott a year ago, of trying to get those guys back. Those aren't as sure of a thing, but in a 20 round draft anymore, they're drafting those guys to try to sign them. Where in the old draft system, they were Johnny Manziel got drafted, and like, you know, people got drafted that they had no anticipation of going to play professional baseball because they were just kind of wasting picks.
Right. Well, what about the closer role with Connor, expected to sign? Who are the candidates there? I know that Marco Cipolla, the transfer from San Diego State, good arm, the North Dakota State transfer, Landon Koenig, I think is his name. I don't want to mispronounce. But of all those candidates, when y'all look at the composition the way the bullpen could be constructed, where does it kind of start? Because again, Will McCausland is a loss there as far as the bullpen. Who could be a closer, and who are the main arms now that these guys have gotten drafted that potentially could have come back and compose it for y'all?
Good question. The short answer is I'm not sure. And I think it'll be a wide open competition in the fall. I think we anticipate of the transfer guys that probably a lot of people have researched or know something about, Cipolla, I would anticipate we would build up to start. Doesn't mean he necessarily will. Will Libert, transfer, left-handed pitching transfer from Missouri, we would anticipate that we will build him up to start. And then Owen Kelly from St. Louis, I would think all three of those guys have the starter's profile. Doesn't mean they will. McCausland kind of had a starter's profile too. And it just so happened that, you know, we got the old guys back and he got pushed into the pen and obviously was a vital role there. Koenig, I think, probably is way more of probably the bullpen prototype that could fill that role. And I don't want to speak out of turn, but I think guys like Taylor Rabe, I think, you know, a year and now, you know, well over a year, 18 months off of Tommy John, I think you'll see a big jump in him. And so those are some of the names that I think about, but I think, you know, those roles outside of who's going to run out there on Friday, I think it's a little tougher to judge those roles even than it was a year ago. You know, it's almost flipped. We get some older offensive pieces back this year where it was portal heavy a year ago. And then this year it's a little bit flipped where we have the one big piece coming back in Hunter. But then after that, there's a lot of roles to be determined.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Big news! Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here. It's Black Friday in July. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Get our lowest prices of the summer for 5 days only. Plus, amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals with fast and free shipping site-wide. So don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 80% off now through July 28th.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Life is a workout,
And Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Patrick Gayle got drafted too. I mean, that guy was in triple digits. And like you said, with the 20-round draft, he's a guy expected to sign too, right?
That's right.
Yeah. And that would have been another candidate for a late inning guy. I mean, he was one what you've been talking about since last fall in terms of velocity and things of that nature. So, yeah, the bullpen will be fascinating going into fall ball, on into spring. Plenty of time between now and then to figure it out. But who are some guys as far as returning arms that maybe spent most of last year in individual instructor, trying to build them up, get some stuff out of them that could take that step, right? Not necessarily for the bullpen, could be for the starting rotation, just arms that y'all are high on that maybe Ole Miss fans don't really know a lot about yet.
Yeah. So I mentioned Rabe. I think that would be one to keep your eye on. Just, you know, got hurt about the same time as Xavier Rivas, right before that year. As we're building up to start the season, and I guess that was 24, maybe. I don't know.
It's all running together now for both of us. But
but Rabe being fully healthy and 18 months off surgery, I would be shocked if he doesn't have a huge role. His stuff just continues to get better, and he's been in the weight room all summer. I would look for big things out of him. Hudson Calhoun is another guy that I think will take a huge step forward. You know, had some big outings for us a year ago and has had an element of success. But I would look for him in a bigger role that I think he's got a chance to be really good. There's certainly Cade Townsend, you know, maybe the best stuff, just pure stuff in our program. And you know, typically the biggest jump goes from freshman to sophomore year. And I think this stuff is just too good. You know, if you made me as the hitting coach make out a weekend rotation right now, he would certainly be in there just because it's an uncomfortable at bat. He's going to throw in the mid 90s. He's going to throw the 90 mile an hour cutter. He's super competitive. And I think some of the uncertainty of being a freshman and not knowing how everything goes and all of that will get washed away a little bit. So I'd anticipate him having a big year too. Those are the guys off the top of my head. And then, you know, there are certainly other guys too, Landon Waters, you know, that I think play a role, but those are the, you know, listening to the question off the top of my head, those are the three names that jump off the page at me.
Going back to the Rebel Grove message board, political commentator wanted to know, why is the staff almost completely stopped considering defense? Well, they haven't, and I'll let you speak to this, but really the last 2 years, Ole Miss has been last in the league in unearned runs. Fielding percentage was either last or tied for last. He would just like to know the roster. Like, he really likes the roster other than the lack of accounting for the defense. What do you think about the defense? Because I know that was a point of emphasis last offseason. It didn't translate. But as far as up the middle, Foley at catcher, second could be Dom Decker, Hayden Frederico, the assumed center fielder. In regards to defense, what are the steps that have been taken and kind of what's just the staff's philosophy as far as getting that right? Because the last 2 years, I mean, that's obviously been probably the biggest problem area.
Yeah, certainly we need to be better defensively. There's no question about that. And at a few positions, particularly, you know, obviously you have to be good in the middle of the infield and at shortstop. And that's frankly hurt us each of the last 2 years. And that's where I would point probably first. You know, I think we'll be really good behind the plate with Foley. But we got to be better at the shortstop position. And obviously, you know, we have guys with experience that have played there. And our best years defensively and probably with any program, you usually have a guy that plays every day at shortstop, and we haven't had that the last couple of years. You know, you think back through a long run of Ole Miss baseball, you know, from Errol Robinson to Greg Kessinger to a year of Anthony Servideo to Jacob Gonzalez. Man, when you're good at that position, it makes up for a lot. And so that's where I would start with it. And I know political commentator was probably asking for you know, more than just the shortstop position, but certainly we got to be better there. And obviously we put an emphasis on it, you know, from a recruiting standpoint and putting a team together. But we haven't been good enough the last couple of years, specifically from a defensive perspective. And those are the kind of things that, that bite you a little bit. And so, you know, certainly that's a warranted, comment from him or her, to us, and it's a place of emphasis where we certainly have to be better.
In regards to shortstop, that's the area where y'all weren't able to add, maybe where y'all were looking to add or something like that. Braden Randall returns, Owen Pano, such a important player as far as the current and future of the program. In regards to shortstop, what's the operating idea right now? Who are the candidates? Is it just those two guys? Are y'all done adding in the portal? Like, just what's the overall viewpoint of that position specifically, knowing that that's where it kind of all starts defensively and having improvement?
Yeah, certainly we wanted to add middle infield depth, and with Decker we did that. I don't anticipate that he would be the shortstop, although we'll run a lot of guys over there to see what we have when the fall starts. The most likely candidates are certainly Randall and Pano. I think we'll probably even look at Judd there. Although as the hitting coach, if he's the best guy, he's the best guy. As the hitting coach, I don't love the 6'5", 240 pounder over there with injury history and all of that. I'd rather anchor him down maybe over at third base and let him hit 30 home runs and not wear him out at shortstop. But certainly it's too big of a defensive, you know, position not to put the best guy over there. Certainly Randall and Pano are talented enough to go do it and are anticipate. And we weren't going to just add to just have another body. You know, we wanted someone that could impact our team. We didn't find anything in the portal that we felt like were better than those two guys, or that could even push those two guys. And we felt like the portal was light from a shortstop standpoint. And if you look around and you really dive into it, you know, I think most people would agree with me on that. But those guys are, you know, now in Pano's case, a year into the program, in Randall's case, 2 years into the program. And typically, you know, the best comes out of you, you know, kind of what we were talking about with the Townsend thing, where you're not walking on eggshells, you're confident, you know, you're not scared. And certainly that's our hope with one of those two guys. So, but Decker will play over there in the fall a little bit. Judd will probably get some innings at shortstop. As we sit here, whatever today is, July 22nd, or whenever we release this, I would anticipate it be one of those two guys.
As far as Topher Jones, to kind of wrap this up, is a player that y'all added late from Pearl River, losing Ethan Surowick late into the portal was certainly something that y'all weren't anticipating. He was a player you were getting excited about, especially with his summer work. He's now gone to Florida. What is the profile for Topher? I know as far as a hit, his hit tool, there's a lot of plus there. There's some exciting things about that. But in terms of role, could he be an improvement defensively at a corner? Is he more just about the hit tool? Just kind of what's the overall thoughts about him and what you like about him?
Yeah, good question. Topher is a guy that obviously is from right up the road, Hernando High School, went to Mississippi State out of high school and then went down to Pearl River and had a great year. He has a ton of defensive versatility. He's another guy that will probably run over there at shortstop, although I don't anticipate that being his primary position, but can play any of the three infield positions and play them well, not just run out there and put a glove on and go play those spots. He's got a real feel to defend on the dirt, and that versatility probably was as important to us as the offense. Now, he had a great offensive year, and I think he's got a chance to really hit. But we were super excited, you know, about him. Much more versatile than what Surowick was from a defensive profile standpoint, and has always hit, and you know, wanted to be here really badly. And so, you know, I think there's something to be said about somebody who wants to, you know, put that uniform on and have the Ole Miss logo across his chest. You know, a lot of times those guys will play above their skis a little bit, just if that's their desire.
Well, last thing, and I'll let you go, man. Just now that the dust has settled, the portal activity, the draft, you and Laff are about to hit the road doing some recruiting stuff. Y'all can start calling guys, I think, August 1. Yeah. Now that the dust has kind of settled, what's just the feeling from the staff in regards to what was done, how it all kind of shook out, encouraging signs, building off of last year? Just the whole big picture angle now that the kind of, like I said, dust has settled.
Well, I think we're in such a better position now than we've been the last couple of years. Number one, coming off of a 43-win season and not a 29-win season. Right? Like, let's you know, I'm going to be very honest. So that feels better, not only for our fan base, but for recruits, for us as a staff, all of those things. From that standpoint, the year was satisfying, although maybe not ultimately satisfying, but from an improvement standpoint, obviously winning 43 games and hosting a regional, you know, from that side of it is a good thing. But I think as you walk forward into recruiting, you know, people are more excited about it. And then just with the roster that we've put together and the guys that we not only brought in, but retained, man, I think it's as talented as we've been in a really long time. With also some proven production in there. And you know, that wasn't the case a year ago, although we were really good, especially on the offensive side of things. But I think, you know, I think we're as talented as we've been, you know, maybe since 2021. And again, I know we won the national title in 22, so that kind of sounds funny. But obviously, the story's well chronicled. We were up and down a little bit, and there were some holes in that team until we got hot, and then it probably didn't matter if we were playing the 27 Yankees, we were going to win. but I think just from a, you know, as we sit here in July, I think we're as talented as we've been, and, you know, that's exciting.
He's Ole Miss hitting coach Mike Clement. This has been Talk of Champions, powered as always by our friends at Riverland Roofing. Riverlandroofing.com, 662-644-4297. This is the Riverland Roofing Studios, New Albany branch. Clem, you've always been a great friend to us here at Talk of Champions and now at the newly rebranded Rebel Grove at On Three. Thank you for joining me, man. Be careful on the road, and we'll talk again.
All right, buddy. Good to talk to you.
Build a polished wardrobe that shows you stay you wherever you go with Mack Weldon. Use code MAC25 for 25% off your first order of $125 or more at macweldon.com.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.